right. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals tonight and open up to 302. How we love this hymn, 302. Come Thou Fount. And because of that fount that the Lord provided with His own blood, we have salvation. Wow. We'll stand and we'll sing all three. Come Thou Fount. Get our choir tuned up.
Fount of every blessing, tune mine heart to sing thy praise. Is a mercy never ceasing, oh, for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Is the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of glory, redeeming love. Hither raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus, sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Amen! Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave, God, I love. Is my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts of love.
Amen. Please be seated, church. Good singing tonight. Praise the Lord. We'll get right to our Wednesday night Bible study. Let's grab our Bibles at this time. Open up to the book of Ruth once again. And what a great time I had this afternoon in preparation of tonight's message in the book of Ruth. Chapter 1 we're still in. Chapter 1. And we're going to cover a few more verses. Now, by way of review, very important that we remember who represents or typifies who or what. Remember, and those of you who might not have gotten these, I'm going to give you the names of the characters in the book and who they typify spiritually. Naomi, she represents Israel. Elimelech represents the Old Covenant, the Mosaic. Orpah, she represents lost Gentiles. Ruth represents the bride of Christ. Boaz, the great Redeemer. The kinsman, who is not named, represents good works. Good works cannot redeem. Obed, the baby of chapter 4, represents new birth. It's going to get gooder. Praise the Lord. Now, the year is 1322 B.C. It's the time of the judges, the period known as the time of the judges from the book of Judges. When Israel was going into idolatry, God would send an enemy. They would repent and he'd raise up a judge to lead them out of their defeat. And it was a recurring theme throughout the book of Judges. During that time period, there arose a great famine in the land, in Israel. So Naomi, her husband Elimelech, and two sons go down to Moab because they had water and food down in Moab. There they abode for some period of time. As you know, we saw in verses 1 through 5, Naomi's affliction. Remember, in Naomi's affliction, both her husband and two sons die down in Moab. Okay? She's left widowed and sonless. She has two daughters-in-law, though, from these gals who married her sons. Next, we came to verse 6 last time, and we looked at verse 6 through 11, and we saw Naomi's prayer. Naomi's prayer was a good one, and God will answer that prayer, as we'll see going through the book. Now, tonight, we come to verse 10. And look with me here in verse number 10. We read. And by the way, tonight's message is Ruth's great decision. Ruth's great decision. And they said unto her, surely we, that's Orpah and Ruth, will return with thee, Naomi, unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave to her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left, speaking unto her. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the incredible passage that we have before us. Lord, how I thank you for the glorious truths that I gleaned this afternoon looking in this at these verses and Ruth's great decision. Lord, she made the greatest decision of her life to follow the Lord God of Israel, the true and living God. And Lord, we thank you that we can learn from these verses many truths to apply to our own Christian lives today. And we thank you that this book is alive. We thank you, Lord, that this book reads us when we read it. We thank you that this book is powerful because it is the mouthpiece of the living God. It sanctifies. It transforms. Lord, it literally changes us from the inside out. We're so grateful for thy word tonight, Father. Bless us as we study together tonight. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, in chapter 1, beloved, as we come to verse 10, in these verses before us, we actually have the reason why there is a book of Ruth in the Bible. It has to do with Ruth's great decision, which God wanted to be recorded for all time, that we would understand that, like Ruth, we have decisions to make in our lives. And tonight's is the most important of all that she made. It does not matter if one is born in Moab, or China, Poland, or Guam, or Antarctica, because the fact remains that every individual that's ever lived has had to make a great decision at some point in their life, either for God or for themselves. It all has to do with Naomi's God, because her God is the true and living God. Now, I want to point out a few things tonight from our text, beloved. The first one is this. Notice that they had plenty of reasons not to choose Israel and Israel's God. They had plenty of reasons not to go with Naomi. Look with me here in verse 12. In verse 12, we read, turn again, she says to Orpah and Ruth, turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Now, here in these verses, Naomi is a true child of God. She knows God. Amen? She's an Israelite. Yet we find that she is suffering much affliction. And here, Ruth and Orpah is looking at Naomi's condition and saying, is this how your God treats his children? Listen, she was driven from her home because of famine. She was living as an exile in a strange land called Moab. She's left a widow when suddenly her husband dies. Further on, she's grieved when her two sons die as well. And in all this, Ruth and Orpah are asking, where is your God, Naomi? They had plenty of reasons to reject him. You see that? Folks, I'm here to tell you tonight that the devil will give you 1,000 reasons to reject Jesus Christ. Glory to God, we got someone else coming in. But there's so many reasons for people to say no to Jesus, right? And listen, folks, in all this, Ruth and Orpah are scratching their heads and saying, we know she's a true believer, but why is she suffering so much? Don't you know that we as God's people suffer in our Christian life? The devil makes sure of that. That's a good thing, because that way you know you're saved. The devil is your enemy, right? Now listen, you know what the world thinks when they look at us? They think, why should I become a Christian? They're reading that Bible all the time and going to church 3 times a week, going knocking on doors and telling people about God. Why would I want to do that? Plenty of reasons to reject him. In Job 21, hold your place in Ruth. Flip over, I want you to see this verse. Here's how the world, Orpah and Ruth, look at God. Not Ruth. Look in Job chapter 21. Great book of the Bible, Job is. The oldest book known to mankind in the history of the world is the book of Job. It predates the Pentateuch. Wow. That's old. I believe it was written just a couple hundred years after the worldwide deluge of Genesis 6. Imagine. But one thing we know, it was inspired by the Holy Ghost. It's the Word of God. In Job 21, watch the question that Job asks in verse 13. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, this is lost people, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit shall we have if we pray unto him? See how the world looks at God? They have plenty of reasons to reject him, because a lot of times they see God's people suffering, various afflictions, trials, tribulations. And they say, hey, why do I need problems from the devil in my life? I don't need your God. That's what Orpah said to Naomi before leaving back for Moab. Now, she had a great decision to make. They didn't understand, they don't understand, the lost people of this world, that we as God's people are not living for the things of this world. We're living for that of another world. Amen? We're looking forward to our eternal life with God above. Someone said, Christians are like tea. Their real strength is not drawn out until they get into hot water. Yeah, that's true. And God will put us into binds, into situations where we need God. Won't he? Testing our faith. Peter McKenzie said, some men are like pigs. They can never look up until they're laid on their back. Examine a pig's eyes and you'll find that this is true. Pigs can't look up. They can only look down. Many, like the muckrakers of Pilgrim's Progress, are victims of the earthward, downward gaze. But God, in his goodness, sends affliction, puts man upon his back, so that he or she may look up to him. That's why Naomi's suffering. God is trying to get her attention. God, look at verse 13, the end of it. She says, for that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. No, it wasn't. God's hand was not. You know, I've heard Christians say this. Oh, God, that's Ruth chapter 1, verse 13. I've heard Christians say, why is God so mean? Why is God allowing me to go through this and that and the other? God is not your enemy, folks. God loves you, and he's trying to form you into what he wants you to be. That's all it is. And Naomi misinterprets all of her affliction, Naomi's affliction, for God being against her. No, he's not. The devil wants you to think that God is against you. He's a liar. God is the very best friend that you have. Now, yes, indeed, they had plenty of reasons for rejecting Naomi's God. But something else. Listen carefully. Secondly, notice that most people choose the easy road. Go back to our text in Ruth chapter 1. Look at verse 14. Most people choose the easy road. verse 14. And they, that's Orpah and Ruth, lifted up their voice and wept again. They loved her. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Now, here in verse 14, one of the gals rejects Naomi's offer of coming back to Israel. Naomi's testing them. Naomi's saying, well, you know, why do you want to come? Why do you want, what's your motive? Do you really want to know God? And one of them turns back, heads back to Moab. Now, here in verse 14, we find Orpah saying farewell to Naomi. She represents who? Lost Gentiles. They always say, you go to church, I'm not going. You read the Bible, I don't. You pray, I don't want any of that. Why? Because they're lost, they don't know God. Now, she's saying, hey, if your God allows and even at times requires suffering in his children's lives, count me out. I don't want anything to do with it. You know what she's doing? She's taking the easy road. Most people will choose the easy road in life because they don't want to suffer for God. Listen, she's saying, no way, man. I am not going back to Israel and suffer like you, Naomi. Did you know that Orpah represents most people? Isn't that sad? I would think it should be the opposite, where most people would choose God. But no, no. The devil's got this world so blinded that most people choose the easy road. The path of least resistance, they call it. Now listen, Orpah's kiss showed that she had an affection for Naomi. She wanted to go her way, but was not willing to embrace her God, fearing the difficulties of the way. You know why some people won't get saved? They don't want to suffer for Jesus. Do you know why you've got churches like Osteen, the biggest church in America, and the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel being preached, and people sending in $1,000 seed money? I'll tell you why. It's because people want the easy road. They preach, oh, come to Jesus and you'll be blessed. Well, yeah, that's partially true. You will be blessed, but you'll also suffer. It's part of the Christian life, folks. We need to remember that. Yea, he that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's part of the Christian life. But it's all worth it. Amen? Now, too many people say, I want to go with you. I want to go to heaven. They show a desire for salvation and Christianity, yet they fall short of it because they cannot find it in their hearts to forsake their sin for the Lord. They have a desire for Jesus Christ, but like Orpah, they leave him for other things. Remember the parable of the sower? There was three types, but only the fourth brought forth fruit. Matthew chapter 19. Hold your place again in Ruth. Matthew chapter 19. Fascinating message tonight concerning Ruth's great decision. And it's amazing to me that her sister-in-law did not follow suit. But folks, this is a perfect picture of a saved and a lost person. One chooses the God of Israel, and one chooses their own way. One chooses to go with God's people, and one chooses to go with the world. You see that? In Matthew chapter 19, look with me at verse 16. Watch what Jesus says. Verse 16, and behold, one came unto him and said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, outwardly, it sounds pretty good, right? The guy sounds sincere, but he's not. Drop down with me to verse number 21. Jesus saith unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast. Time out, church. What is Jesus doing in verse 21? What is he putting his finger on? What the guy was trusting in. He put his finger right on it and he said, get rid of that and follow me. Trust me. That's what Jesus does. You're trusting in the Pope? You're trusting in this religion? Or your baptistry tank? Or your stringing beads and Hail Mary? It's not going to work. Jesus says, repent of that and trust me. All you need is me. Watch it. 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Jesus says, I will take care of your needs if you come to me and follow me. Drop down to verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know what he did? He made the same mistake that Orpah made in Ruth chapter 1. He went his way and he left Jesus Christ.
far as we know, he never got saved because he's never mentioned in the Bible again. Wow. How sad is that? The opportunity for salvation. The great decision that people have to make. And I'm so glad that Ruth made the right one. Oh, what a shining example she is. In 1962, some of you remember this, Marilyn Monroe told Billy Graham, "Not now, preacher. Not now. Maybe in 2 weeks I'll have time to talk to you, but not now." But 2 weeks later was too late. Marilyn Monroe committed suicide before Billy Graham had an opportunity to meet with her about Jesus Christ. Put it off! Put it off for another more convenient time, Agrippa! Yeah, how sad! Because she died without Jesus Christ. That's what Satan wants. He wants for people to choose the easy road. The armchair. Don't worry about the future. It'll all be fine. Your good works will outweigh your bad works, you know. No, it won't. Wow. But something else tonight, beloved. See Ruth brought to the moment of decision. Look with me in verse 14. Ruth chapter 1, verse 14. Notice Ruth's point of decision. "And they," Ruth and Orpah, "lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she," Ruth, "said, Behold," Naomi said to Ruth, "thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." She's testing her. What are you going to do, Ruth? You've got a decision to make. Now, beloved, listen carefully and grab hold of this verse, 15. Orpah goes back to the worshippers of Chemosh. Remember that God that taught human sacrifice and all that wickedness? Naomi sets her face to the Holy Land, the true and living God of Israel. Here's Ruth standing in the middle, forced to make a decision. Naomi urges her, "If ever thou wilt return to Moab and to your gods, do it now, Ruth. It's decision time." Listen, beloved, here in verse 15 is the greatest trial of Ruth's life. She is brought to the moment of decision. Which way will I go? Will I go back to my idol Chemosh and to my own people and my own way of doing things? Or will I forsake it, repent of that wicked religion, and go to the true and living God of Israel with Ruth, my mother-in-law? Listen, folks, God in his divine sovereignty will bring every single person to a moment of decision in their life. I don't care where you're born. I don't care what color your skin is. God is going to give you a point in your life where you need to make a decision for Jesus Christ or against. And sadly, most people choose against him. Isn't that crazy? And Orpah makes this foolish decision. But Ruth, look at verse 15. And Ruth, end of verse 14. "And Ruth clave unto her." She's making the right decision. Go to Joshua 24. Just flip back prior to Judges. You'll be in Joshua. Look at this verse. I love this verse because one man didn't care what anybody else thought about his God. His name is Joshua. Chapter 24. Look at verse 14. Joshua says, "Now, therefore," he's talking to all the children of Israel, a great audience. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We will serve the Lord. Folks, I got good news tonight, church. We will serve the Lord here at KJV Bible Baptist Church. As long as I'm pastor, we're going to serve the true and living God. Amen? Why? Because we've made a decision for Jesus Christ. We love him, and we want to serve him all the days of our lives. We're no Orpah. We're no rich man in Matthew 19 turning back to his goods. We are going all the way for Jesus Christ. Now, it's a personal choice. Nobody can make it for you. Each individual, your mom can't do it, your husband can't do it, your daughter can't do it, your sister, you
have to make that decision. Ruth's great decision is being made. It's personal. Naomi says, so what's it going to be, Ruth? Dr. John A. Broadus used to say, the best committee is composed of three persons, with one member of the committee out sick in bed, another member of the committee out of town on a trip. That's true, because it really takes one person to make a definite decision personally. You don't need the other two. Ruth was brought to that moment of decision. But fourthly, listen carefully. Notice that some folks still choose God. Some folks still choose God. Look at it. Verse 16. Ruth chapter 1. Look at verse 16. I like it. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. What a picture we have painted in verse 16 by the Holy Ghost, folks. Listen, here we have a most solemn profession of an immovable resolution to embrace the living God. This every true believer does when they get saved. They say, I am going for Jesus Christ from now on in my life. I'm getting saved. I am repenting of my sin. I love it. Thy people shall be my people, Christianity. Thy God, Jesus Christ, shall be my God. Oh, folks, the picture is so clear. Notice here that Ruth decides for God after the negative influence of Orpah was removed. Listen, God's Spirit is at work in this passage, bringing Ruth to the Lord God of Israel. Beloved, here is a biblical faith in its purity and simplicity. Ruth simply says, I am going to come with you, and I am going to worship your God, and he is going to become my God. How beautiful is this? First, it's twofold, her resolution. First, to become a member of the family of God. Look at it, verse 16. She says, I, thy people, shall be my people. You know what happens when you get saved? You're saying, you Christians are now my Christian family. I am now one of you. I am joining the church. I am signing up. Well, Pastor, where can you use me? I'm with you now. I'm no longer with the world. I've changed families. I'm in the family of God. Thy people shall be my people. But secondly, in a resolution, she resolves to become a personal follower of the true and living God. Look at it. Verse 16. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. See, it's not just enough to be in the church, folks. It has to be a personal decision of your heart where you embrace the living God and he comes to be your master. Oh, how beautiful the picture is. Now, listen carefully. She says, farewell to the gods of Moab. Farewell to Chemosh. Farewell to my idolatry. Farewell to my idolatrous people. I've got a new family. It's the people of God. I'm going with them. Where, and look, I love this. Whithersoever thou goest, I will go. I love that. You guys set up a church in Hooksville, I'll be there. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. Deuteronomy 26. Hold your place again. Deuteronomy 26. Moses tried to get the people to make a firm resolution to cleave unto God, though they didn't. In Deuteronomy 26, look at verse 17. 17. Moses says to the people of Israel, after they said, yes, Moses, all thou sayest we will do. Verse 17. Moses says, thou hast what?
Avouched.
What's that word avouched mean, by the way? Don? That word means avowed. It's a solemn oath. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day. Folks, listen to me. When you come to God, not only are you swearing allegiance to him, he swears allegiance to you. Did you see it? Verse 18. The Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people. You know what? God didn't have to do that. Isn't that beautiful?
He loves us so much that he chooses to avouch us as his people. Look at it. As he hath promised thee that thou shouldest keep all his commandments and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God as he hath spoken. Let me say something to you tonight, church. This world looks down on you. This world looks at you as a poor pauper without two nickels to rub together because you follow Jesus Christ. You give money in that offer plate to that Bible church over there? Yeah. You go to all these churches, you read the Bible, you obey, you actually do what the Bible says? Yeah, we do. See, and they look at you and they can't figure you out because they don't understand that you have avouched the Lord thy God to be your God, and he has avouched thee to be his. I love that. Many years ago, from Port Elizabeth, South Africa, the Reverend David Thomas Wright courted and won Francis Elliott of Kansas City, Missouri, by cabling the verse numbers of the Bible passages we're reading. He proposed with Genesis 12:1. He wrote this to her: "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred unto a land that I will show thee." She accepted his proposal with Ruth 1:16. "For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge." He confirmed it with Ruth 1:17. "Where thou diest, I will die, and there I will be buried, if aught but death part between thee and me." With that, Miss Elliot bought a one-way ticket to Port Elizabeth, and the rest is history. That's a perfect picture of what Ruth did. She chose the Lord God of Naomi, and she went with her. She didn't just say it and then go back to Moab. She actually went with her. But something else, beloved. Something else I see. Notice the inseparable bond of true believers. Look at verse 17 now. Ruth 1:17. Ruth is still speaking to Naomi. "Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part between thee and me." You know what she's doing? She now has a new spiritual bond with her mother-in-law. Not just a familial bond, not just a relational bond, but now it's a spiritual bond because they're both believing in the same God. They're both true worshipers of the living God. And there is a bond. Now listen carefully. "Indeed, for all those who enter the ranks of the divine family, there exists an inseparable bond of holy love and care for one another." You know it's true. You can go to China, Australia, get off that plane tonight, and meet a Christian, and you'll have an immediate connection with that person. Why? You got the same spirit. Amen? Same spirit. Now, Ruth here resolves that nothing but death would separate her from Naomi and God's people. Listen, we must bind our souls with a bond, never to break our tie to God's people. You know what too many Christians do? They drop out of church and they stop going to any church. And they have no fellowship with God's people. That is unbiblical. Okay? Listen, God wants you to be in a congregation of spiritual believers and be edified thereby. Listen, she resolves to continue on all the days of her life serving the God of Israel with Naomi, fulfilling her duty as a true believer. Finally, sixthly, notice the genuine determination. Verse 18. Verse 18 we read, "When she," Naomi, "saw that she," Ruth, "was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her." She realized at this point Ruth had made her decision and she meant it. She's no longer trying to talk her out of it. She now realizes she wants the true God. And she welcomes her. Now, beloved, here is the perseverance of the believer, beautifully portrayed by Ruth's declaration of verse 17. Yes, she was steadfastly minded, verse 18, to go with her. Listen now, those that are unresolved and wavering in the faith and in the church, without a steadfast mind to serve God today, are easy prey to the tempter. He'll find 1,000 ways to get you out of church if you're not minded to serve God. This is perseverance. No, it has nothing to do with your salvation. It's simply a result of salvation. They stand like a door, half open, inviting the thief to enter in. But genuine determination, which Ruth has, shuts and bolts the door locked, resisting the enemy and causing him to flee. What did James say to us in James chapter 2, down around verse 7? Resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. It's a promise of God. You know what the problem is? We don't resist the devil. We open the door and come on in, sit down. That's why so many Christians have so many problems in their lives. They're not resisting. It's part of the perseverance. And it can only be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's only the Holy Spirit that enables us to do that. Job chapter 11. Hold your place in Ruth. Job chapter 11. Powerful passage tonight. Ruth's great decision. I love it. In Job 11. Look at verse 13. 11 and verse 13. And notice the first word. If. Whenever you see if in the Bible, it's a conditional promise. If you do this, God says, then I'll do that. Okay? Verse 13. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch, you know, Christianity is heart work. It's not lip service. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, God, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far from away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast, and shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as waters that pass by. He's simply saying here that if you prepare your heart and you have a heart for God, he will bless you and your fears will dissipate. They'll disappear because you're trusting God. I love that. Look at verse 15. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast. Thou shalt not fear. You know what we need? We need some steadfast Christians today, folks. We need why there are empty pews in the church tonight? Because we need steadfast believers to fill this house up, amen? And to serve God with a purpose, with a steadfast... I like that. Look at Ruth chapter 1. Look at verse 18 again. I love this verse. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded. You know what that means? She had her mind made up. Too many people are double-minded today. Oh, I think I'll serve God over here for a little bit. Now I think I'll go over to the bar room, you know. We need to be steadfastly minded as Ruth was, and everything will work out just fine. Thou shalt abide, Job said, with a genuine determination. Finally, in closing, let me give you this. The Caldy paraphrase relates the debate between Naomi and Ruth as follows, and I'm going to quote it verbatim. Listen, the Caldy paraphrase. Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, for I will be a proselyte." Naomi says, "We are commanded to keep Sabbaths and good days on which we may not work or travel." "Well," said Ruth, "well, whither thou goest, I will go." Naomi said, "We are commanded not to tarry all night with Gentiles." "Well," said Ruth, "where thou lodgest, I will lodge." Naomi said, "We are commanded to keep 613 precepts of Moses." "Well," said Ruth, "whatever thy people keep, I will keep." Naomi said, "We are forbidden to worship any strange god." "Well," said Ruth, "thy God shall be my God." Naomi said, "We have four sorts of death for malefactors: stoning, burning, strangling, and slaying with the sword." "Well," said Ruth, "whether thou diest, I will die." "We have," said Naomi, "houses of sepulchres." "And there," said Ruth, "will I too be buried." You know what it means? It means Ruth was made up in her heart and soul and mind to follow Naomi's God. And she did. And so can we. This was Ruth's great decision. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for these verses in chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. And Lord, how we thank you for the incredible, shining example of Ruth and how she made that decision to follow the true God, the living God. I'm so thankful that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I am so thankful that we too have found the living God, the true God, and eternal life in him. Lord, thank you for the encouragement from your word tonight. And Lord, my prayer tonight for your people is that we would be like-minded with Ruth, that we would be steadfastly minded to go with the Lord God of Israel. and with his people. And Lord, we thank you that you're not done with the Jews tonight. Though they have rejected their Messiah, they will, at some point in the future, receive him, and a glorious messianic kingdom will be set up on this earth. We look forward to that day because, Lord, we, as the bride of Christ, will serve with you, will rule and reign with you in the millennium over the entire world. How we thank you for the privilege of being called by thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. The people said, amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals and stand. Before our prayer meeting tonight, we will, of course, sing one. And, let's see here. Let's open up to hymn 32, an appropriate hymn for tonight's message. Because Ruth became a member of the Lord's army. And so are you and I. Amen. Onward, Christian soldier. Yes. And we're going to sing the first, third, and fourth. First, third, and fourth. 32.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus rolling on before. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus moving on before on the third, like a mighty army, moves the Church of God. Brothers, we are saints have trod,
amen.
We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Amen. Praise the Lord for this army right here in our church in Hooksett. What a blessing. Well,